A lot of people who take an interest in grammar love to focus on things like whether you can use among as a synonym of between, whether you can say someone is taller than me instead of taller than I, or whether you can split infinitives, end sentences with prepositions, or use who instead of whom in informal contexts. But to me, that's not what grammar's all about. To me, grammar's a lot more interesting and practical than that. It's about how sentences work or don't. It's about writing and communicating well, being able to identify problems in a sentence and fix them. As an editor, I've noticed that the sentences that go wrong are usually the ones in which the main clause, the simple subject plus verb foundation of every sentence, is either weak or buried. Here's an example of a weak main clause. The knowing of the realities of the cosmic structure of the universe can at times be elusive. Now, just about anyone could peg that as a bad sentence. But if you take just a second to note its subject plus verb foundation, its main clause, you can start to see why it's bad. What's the subject in our sentence? It's the knowing of the realities of the cosmic structure of the universe. That's one, a mouthful, and two, pretty abstract. Now, what's the verb phrase on which the subject rests? It's can be, as in can at times be elusive. There's nothing wrong with a verb phrase like can be as the main verb in a sentence. But I've noticed that be and its conjugated forms like is, are, and were are relied on a little too much by weaker writers. That's especially true when the word that comes next is an adjective like elusive. So at its heart, our sentence says, knowing can be elusive, which isn't exactly what you'd call a fact-filled or action-packed sentence. Once you've stripped it of all its accessories and can see it in its simplest form, knowing it can be elusive, you can see that maybe the whole sentence is devoid of value. I mean, after all, don't most people know that knowing can be elusive? So the thing we can see when we isolate the sentence's subject and verb, something we might not have seen otherwise, is that it's possible that this whole sentence could have been altogether eliminated. If not, we now at least have an opportunity to look at the statement, knowing is elusive, and ask ourselves what we're really trying to say. Chances are it was something like, stargazers have long puzzled over the mysteries of the universe, or the universe does not easily reveal its secrets, or just, the cosmos are mysterious. True, this may not be new information to the reader either, but at least these statements have subjects, stargazers, the universe, and the cosmos, respectively, that are more vivid, interesting, and substantive than our original subject, which was knowing. Now, the verbs in two of these example sentences are chosen to be a little more interesting and action-oriented than just can be. In our example sentence, stargazers have long puzzled over the mysteries of the universe, we have people, the stargazers, puzzling, that's our verb. In the next example, the universe does not easily reveal its secrets, the verb is reveal. Both these are a little more action-oriented and interesting than just can be. So for anyone struggling with trying to make their sentences more lively, I would say that the two most important things you can do are look for a vivid subject to use, a person or a tangible thing, and look for an action-oriented verb. Granted, these are not always options. Sometimes you really do want to say that knowing is elusive. And in those cases, that is what you should say. But when you look for vivid subjects and verbs, you can often do better. Now, the other most common way that sentences go bad is by burying the main clause amid too much other stuff. Prepositional phrases, relative clauses, introductory phrases, adjectives, adverbs. For example, for as long as people have been looking inquisitively to the skies, intrepid stargazers have been perennially puzzled by the mysteries of the cosmos, which doesn't reveal its secrets eagerly or willingly to people with whom it shares this vast space. Now, fixing a monster like this is easier than it looks. Again, just find the main subject, stargazers, and the main verb, puzzled. That's the heart of this sentence, and everything else is either overkill or redundant, or can be broken off into its own sentence. For example, the introductory prepositional phrase, "For as long as people have been looking inquisitively to the skies," adds nothing to what comes next. Stargazers is just a repeat of people looking to the skies. And the verb phrase "have been puzzled" pretty much already contains the idea that the word "inquisitively" tried to convey in that introductory phrase. So that structure is kind of like saying, for as long as people have been wondering about the universe, people have been wondering about the universe. In these cases, one of the most important things you can do is look for redundancies like this and just cut them out. Often we realize that our words are unnecessary space fillers. Other times, when a sentence like this is actually packed with a lot of distinct, unique, and interesting things to say, it can just be broken up into several sentences. Now, in this podcast, we've looked at only two ways that sentences can go wrong. Obviously, there are a lot more ways than that. But the lesson is actually pretty broad. Whenever a sentence is going wrong, start by looking for the main subject and the main verb. From there, you can decide whether those two things are solid enough and how to deal with all the other information around them.